It is October 29th, and this means this is our show for Halloween, and I'm not going to get in the way of our local expert in regards to paranormal activity and strange, quirky things, because that would be Greg Bakken. Ghost Box Radio is a fantastic show we have here on AM 950 here on the weekends. You can listen to that. He is kind enough today to join us for this full hour, and joining him as well is Pastor One, psychic medium, tarot card reader. Pastor One is a lifetime of intuitive experience. She's traveled throughout the Midwest, providing her services at conventions, mediumship galleries, psychic fairs, and weekly Facebook live broadcast. She's been part of many paranormal investigations, some with Greg Bakken. And One recently accepted the position of, and this is too cool, head pastor of the church at Tamara in Tucson, Arizona. Congratulations on that. Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and Greg, I'll get back to you in a sec. Very cool. I'm becoming the head pastor. I've often talked about, you know, my spirituality and my continued path that continues to go on here. That's got to be a huge accomplishment. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, very good. Greg, you guys are... You went to one of the scariest places on the planet, Danbury, Connecticut. What are you thinking? Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually you are at a specific house with a specific kind of special doll, correct?
Well, we're not there yet. Tomorrow we're going to be at a convention that is put on by the Warrens, the legacy of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Their daughter and son-in-law Tony put on this convention with their paranormal team, and there we're going to see and meet the real Annabelle doll. But I have to say, Matt, you're gonna have to talk to Anne about whether or not Danbury is the scariest place on earth, because this is where she was born.
Well, I lived in Wickford, Rhode Island, or as they used to say, Wickford. And so all those New England towns, it does not surprise me Stephen King came out of Maine. I mean, you get these coastal towns, there is a, you know, Halloween time around those areas. It's kind of a different experience than you get in the upper Midwest, that's for sure. And of course the colonial, you know, European history is much older than in other parts of the country. Is it one of those places? Is Danbury, Connecticut, is it really one of the more haunted places you can be?
I feel like it is. Growing up here, there wasn't a place that I lived that wasn't haunted.
Well, in Wickford, that was known as Dad Likes His Drink. But, I mean, still, I mean, it's like haunted.
And that means St. Anthony, where I grew up, was haunted too, I guess. So,
weren't they all back then? Yes. Well, and is there any specific? I mean, okay, obviously you have in regards to the Annabelle doll here in the Warrens. I mean, is there another place there that has been, you know, kind of traditionally? I mean, I know you go up to Boston and you get up to Salem and you go, there are all these houses and witch trials and stuff like this. Is there anything else there that is kind of is known for its ghostly presence or Halloween activities?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, near, not too terribly far, it was going to be the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah.
There's been three Conjuring films, and two of them have had instances that take place in the New England area, one in Danbury here.
Yeah, where we're actually the relatives.
Yeah, that's where we're at now, is the house of one of the relatives of the basis of the film for Conjuring 3, which is, you know, friends of Anais.
Yeah.
We
grew up together.
But that's what Danbury is, though, right?
I mean, it's just something that you just, it's a way of life.
Your Facebook friends, you always know them. Oh, there it is, the goth photo. There you go, Danbury, Connecticut. How you doing? I always remember around, because in Rhode Island, and you do get this, you know, old history that, I've also gotten this in Ireland, in England, in Germany, you know, where these stories, they hold on, even. if there, and this is not about, you know, dispelling or dismissing, even if there really isn't a ghost story, some guy 300 years ago starts a ghost story, and now by its own nature, it's become its own story. You know what I mean? It's just because these things get passed on, I mean, they really can become, create a life of their own and really become kind of, you know, a representation of that area. I mean, like I said, I was growing up in Rhode Island. Gosh, Newport. You go to, you know, Providence, North Kingston, go down to Narragansett. There was always, oh, yeah, that's haunted. Oh, that hotel is haunted. And there was always someone that had a wedding photo or something like that that had a creepy image in it. And I was like, you know, I'm sure that's not your uncle after a few too many. But, you know, it was, no, there was always kind of like a hand or, a you know, there was always some picture. That was just a really common occurrence that happened out there.
Well, and, you know, you look at, like, for the first Conjuring film, you look at the history of the Conjuring house, and the idea in the film they call the witch Bathsheba, and that there's supposed to be all these nasty things that Bathsheba has done. But now, you know, you find a lot of people going through these records, you know, same at like Waverly Hills Sanatorium and other places, that what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the right information, the correct information, because before it just got it all got out of hand, but the real information is just there. It was a matter of people taking the time and not just relying on the hearsay for, you know, 100-150 years, but instead actually going and doing the due diligence of research to be able to get us like something that's really real. For just you know, like I said, Bathsheba was always told to be, and some people still hold this, like she you know, sacrificed children, she did all these things that were really nasty, but you find out over time doing the research she was nothing like that.
There seems to me to be the great conundrum of not just, you know, ghost hunting shows, Sasquatch hunting shows, stuff like this, but any kind of show, is that if you don't deliver on the concept of the show, that you end up doing more damage to the cause than helping. And what I mean is this. If I watch This Old House, right, they're going to build a house, and it's going to be fascinating. They're building a house. Look what they're doing with the foundation. It's great. At the end of the day, you have this house. There is something tangible there. One of the problems I think that's happened with, particularly with cable television, but with some streaming services as well, is that the idea of, oh, great, we're going to now get these people, amateur investigators, going on out, doing the real legwork, doing the real research, we're going to find these things, and great, we're going to have all of this evidence. But the reality is most of these people are not ghost researchers or paranormal people. They're just pretty people that look good on camera that basically, you know, every time that there's a bump, they overreact and act like that. There's your definitive proof. And then they come back, oh, no, it was a squirrel. And I think that one of the problems that's happening is that when it comes to ghost hunting and it goes to Sasquatch or aliens, is that because there are so many lunatics, and frankly, and I don't mind calling them lunatics that are on these cable shows screaming at the top of their lungs every time, it's aliens, ghost, or this, it actually diminishes from the fact that, okay, are they real? Because the reality is you've had 12 seasons of your show, and I have yet to see a damn ghost. And you guys keep claiming there's ghosts. I have yet to see anything there that's really any kind of proof. Talk a little bit about the double-edged sword nature of that.
You want to, Yoni? So, you know, the thing that people, you know, don't always realize about those shows is that they're for entertainment purposes only, you know, and that's, you know, but, and the double-edged sword, in my opinion, comes from the fact that when I get people coming to my events, or when Anae gets people coming to her readings, you know, they expect us to behave the way that they see on the shows. You know, they expect us to walk into an empty room that's dark and scream into the air. And, that's not that all shows do that, but, you know, the really popular ones tend to go that route, where and you know, you have to remind people, this is, you know, like you said earlier, you know, when they're gonna do This Old House, there's gonna be a house that shows up somewhere in the show. So if you're doing something like, you know, a ghost show, they're gonna want to see something, whether or not it's someone acting like they're being possessed, or acting like that, you know, or you see like a shadow moving or something. And, you know, I do believe the majority of the people on these shows are legitimate, but they also have to kind of deliver some kind of entertainment value to it. You know, that's why they shoot for 2 weeks at a time and makes it look like that it's just done overnight. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you just have to be careful about. And, you know, as Anne had been told before, you know, she's not scary enough for television, you know, and there's something to that, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I tried, but I'm not scary.
Well,
so,
I mean, but
you know, they're looking for something specific.
Yeah, I was going to add on to that. I actually have a friend that was doing and it wasn't a ghost show, it wasn't this, but it was kind of a history show where they were trying to, this exact same thing happened to them. And the producers kept coming back and saying, well, we want you to sensationalize this. He goes, no, there's only so much I'm willing to say. There's science. There's science behind what I'm trying to prove here. And if it goes beyond that, I'm not going to just lie for dramatic effect. And they ended up canceling the show. They ended up canceling the show because that you're exactly right. I look at, was it Ghost Hunters? Was the guys that were originally from the Roto-Rooter, right?
Ghost Hunters.
Those original shows were somewhat entertaining because they clearly were going in. The two original guys were going in there to basically discredit everything. And so it made for actually compelling TV when they did find something that they couldn't really explain. But then it's like you could tell the producers got involved with it and all of a sudden became Ghostbuster Kids. And, you know, it was, you know, all the young, the next generation. And there are a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people I wouldn't let in my house, you know, as you said, screaming at the top of their lungs, going every time that they see a shadow going, oh, my God. And of course, that dramatic stinger effect, you know, it really is to a point. It does more damage, I think, to any kind of legitimate argument about what is out there that we don't understand to have, you know, these Jill Boyd and Blowcomb kids going on out there on a daily basis and, trying to basically entertain as opposed to educate.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly it. Everyone wants to, you know, and everyone wants to be those people when they're doing the investigation. And it's really tough to try to remind, because, you know, I think, and I don't want to speak for Anne, but I mean, I feel like, since when the ability to actually communicate with the spirit isn't good enough? You know, why is that not good enough? You know, that to me, that seems amazing. It seems beautiful. But people want who are making these shows, at least some of these shows, they want to, you know, drive up the shock value, the scare factor for it. And what that does, it makes everyone think that if there is some paranormal activity in your house, the first place they go to is, oh my gosh, that's a demon. I watched Ghost Adventures. That's a demon. I've seen people get possessed because, you know, there's a knock on the door, you know, and that's simply not true.
It does not help the cause out there. And I mean, have you seen that? Have you gone to places, Greg, where and Onay, have you gone to places and say, hey, I want to investigate this? And you look at it and they're looking at you at the front door and they're like, oh, well, no, we're not going to have you in. We're not going to have some clown car show coming on in here. And you're like, no, that's not us. We're not trying to do that. I mean, have you had that kind of a pushback?
I've had that pushback before. And what happens is some don't want to know anymore. They don't want to go further. But others, what happens is that we walk through our way of doing things. We have videos, we have a web series that we show how we investigate, and that often turns people around. And Matt, I just want to quickly say too, you know, as much as we talk about the bad side of how that could backfire, I also want to say, as much as those shows can annoy me, it certainly gets a lot of people coming up to me when they find out what I do. And I'm sure for Anne also, that they're like, you know, I watch these shows, I'm so fascinated. And then you open up a dialogue to be able to talk about how we like to do it. And what ends up happening is that, you know, more often than not, they're just still super excited and impressed by it.
Anne, as you've gone out there with this, is that been your experience too? Is that people want you to, you know, give them kind of a Ghostbusters experience where you're literally pulling someone that they're going to have sit next to them and have a nice long conversation with in a room, as opposed to be able to have, you know, be able to communicate with a past spirit in the way that you do, that the expectation is now more of a big screen movie kind of presentation, not the real world as it happens?
Well, the thing is, yes, that does happen, but I can deliver. And when I do deliver, it's pretty impressive. So because I come up with details that like wow people. So that I don't when I go into a place or I talk with somebody, I don't know anything about them. I barely know their name. I just ask like their first name only, if that at all. When I come in and I get the information, the download of information, I'm feeling, seeing, sensing things. It's pretty impressive and powerful.
And if you're like, you know, most of the people I know that are very credible in this industry, you'll walk into a room and right away know something. You know, it's whether it's, I know some people will see something manifesting itself, or there's just a feeling that it just kind of hits you, doesn't it? It's just that there is that level of power exists within that room.
Yes, because we tap into energy. And when the energy knows that you are there, and that you are there to communicate with them, yes, they do let themselves know. They let us know that they are there and that they're ready to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened to you in like a really weird place, like a Caribou Coffee or something like that? It's a, you know, like, whoa, really here? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
It has. Cool.
Like the Walmart.
Yes.
Really the at Walmart. A Walmart?
Yes, I stopped quietly by myself early in the morning. And so, because I didn't want to have to deal with a lot of crowds.
It's so, Walmart, yeah. It's a good call.
I was walking by this one woman and she, I got pulled by spirit to communicate with her. And so I did. Oh. And it ended up being quite the accurate information for her.
Wow. And so that was a spirit that was basically attached to that woman. It wasn't like it was someone there in the Walmart.
No, it was attached to the woman. That's how I basically read, for the most part.
Because I didn't
go to the Walmart to look for spirit.
I got to tell you, if you're a spirit and you're stuck in a Walmart, that is a rough go right there. I mean,
yeah.
you got that is, you know, oh, dear Lord, really? You're putting the caramel corn on special again? Oh, okay, it's not going to sell this time. You know, I can see it's not going to go well. I'll tell you what, when coming back, I want to talk a little bit about my experience in the South. I went to the South Carolina this summer, and I did a ghost tour, and it just, okay. I'll some problems I have with this, and I'll let you guys, you know, give your thoughts on that, as well as also, I posted those pictures. Did you get those pictures, Greg?
I did. Okay. We took a look at them.
We'll take a look at those pictures because there is a creepy shadow in a photo. And I am, although I'm also a creepy shadow in the same photo, it's a different kind of creepy. We'll talk about that a little bit as well coming up here. Greg Bakken is kind enough to join us, as well as Pastor Anne. Once again, in Danbury, Connecticut, they're going to go hang out with the Annabelle doll. Yeah, no, I'll pass on that one. I'm glad you're doing it tomorrow because I'm busy. I'll be carving a pumpkin or something. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's Matt McNeil's show. Once again, Ghost Box Radio, if you don't know, it is on the air 4 to 5 o'clock on Sundays right here on AM 950. The replay of that Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Make sure you're catching that. You'll have two chances to catch in on this weekend. As a matter of fact, I'm presuming this weekend is a little Halloween heavy for you guys, Greg?
It is. You know, we did put out an interview request for Annabelle, and she has refused. Mm-hmm. So... it's the funny thing is we had grand plans for Halloween, doing a bigger show, a lot of fun stuff. And you know how it goes. It just kind of starts paring away. And then we ended up just spending more time out here and at the convention and stuff. So we figured, you know, we'll catch up. And Anne joins me every third Sunday. So she does one question readings. And we always have if we don't get people calling in, we just talk about our experiences. It's always fun.
I want to bring up something that happened this week. Of course, this full hour, we're spending it with Greg Bakken from Ghost Box Radio, as well as a pastor on a psychic medium that they are coming out in Danbury, Connecticut. They are going to go see the Annabelle doll. Yee. Okay, so I was down in South Carolina. I did one of their ghost tours, and this is pretty common. they do these things. Here's the problem is that there is also part of these ghost tours which just they're clearly about local tourism. There's not really that much about you know really what's going on because the ghosts that they describe first of all are all white. It's like okay, I don't know if you understand the makeup of the South, but it wasn't just you know white people. But of course, there's all these. It's this beautiful girl that lived in this mansion. It's beautiful, and I was just like, okay, you know, if just by the odds of things, wouldn't there be African American ghosts in some places at least? You know, outside of the one place, it's the ghost of this guy that helped write the Articles of Confederacy. I said, really, you're going to bring that guy in here? Okay, yeah, fine, whatever. But you go on out there, and sometimes it just there's a ghost of a French court jester that lives in that mansion that tries to kill people, okay, by pushing them down the stairs, but then befriends the kids. And I'm like, you know, I understand tourism. You want to bring a few bucks in. You're just doing a little walking tour. What's the deal? But once again, I think it's to a point, it's a bit of an insult to your profession to kind of go on out there and it's like, okay, then why is the French guy here again? And is he speak English or does he speak French? Because wouldn't he be a French talking dude? You know, none of this makes any sense. But, you know, it doesn't stop them, though.
No, well, I mean, the thing is, it seems very similar to what we were talking about last segment was that, you know, it's all about, you know, you get history from the people you talk to, you know,
personal preference.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, these are stories that have been passed around for years and years and years. Was there a lot of interaction talking with slaves about their story or not? I don't know. I mean, that's what it comes down to is like, who did they talk to? What story did they want to tell? You know, our story is one of finding out as much information as we can get. You know, the thing is too is that these stories are never about a person who had a happy life and passed away in their bed. You know, they're not those aren't the people that we see at these locations. There's always some tragedy that's attached to them, and that to me is just as bad because it's like there are good stories. And what's wrong with talking with a spirit that had a good life? You know, what's wrong with talking with somebody who, you know, or someone who needs help or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. And, you know, you just never know what story you're getting or who's talking to who. Do you have anything you want to? No.
Well, I'll bring this up because I brought this up when we came back. And sometimes it's also perspective. Because they were talking about there is a local native tribe. This is down in Beaufort, South Carolina. The original explorers were there, and they basically double-crossed them. The white Europeans double-crossed. I know, shocker. But the white Europeans double-crossed the local natives, basically put them into a whole bunch of debt, and then said, here's the deal. You can be our slaves. This is how you'll get out of that. You, your kids, your grandkids can become our indentured servants. And basically, this is how you'll pay off your debt. Now, once again, they knowingly screwed over the Native American tribes. They knowingly built up this debt. They basically robbed them blind and then basically expected them to become slaves. Well, the Native Americans, they weren't too keen on this idea and slaughtered pretty much the entire town. And it was funny because the woman that was doing the tour, she was out there, she goes, oh, these brave men, they let their wives and kids escape as they all succumb to the Native Americans. And I kind of raised my hand and said, I got news for you. I'm on Team Native America at this point. I mean, you guys talk about the great slave. You were trying to turn their entire families into slaves. No. You guys kind of got what you deserved. And it's interesting because that is, 20 years ago, it would all be about the poor white settlers. And the reality is, it's like, you guys need to get your ass kicked. And I'm glad you got your ass kicked because you guys shouldn't have done that. And it brings up, of course, she gave me a very unappealing smirk. It's like, you know, I'm on Team Native America with this one. They were in the right. But they, you know, it is interesting that the narrative on these stories does change, and for the better, if we actually can get the correct historical context, I think that's important.
Yeah, no, and that's why I like, you know, I go to like places like in Minnesota, I go to Deadwood, you know, South Dakota. There's a lot of great places to investigate where you're getting you know, sometimes you're getting one half the story, sometimes you're getting the whole story. But also, like Pipestone, Minnesota, there is, you know, a great way to get the full picture, you know. And, you know, like you said at the start, I tend not to do the ghost tours a whole lot because, like you said, these are people who are just reading a script in a lot of ways. And so I'm just, you know, I could read Wikipedia. If I do that, I'll go because I want to see the sites. I want to see, maybe they give me more, access to something than I would if I just walked up to the front door myself.
Well, I have a question for Matt.
Sure.
You were on that tour. So yes. What did you feel? Did you get any messages? Did you get any feelings?
It was, I'm going to be very honest. It was ungodly hot that night. It was 8 o'clock at night. I think it was 93 degrees, and it was just an insane amount of humidity. And of course, the person that's doing the walking tour was doing a lot of speed walking on the whole thing. And so I just remember being okay. I felt I wanted to get done with it. There were two things that did happen on that tour. One, I had my phone die on me as we were at what was one of the oldest houses still standing in the old Beaufort. And of course, when I brought this up, it's like they brought up a mysterious third ghost or you know, goblin or whatever that basically, oh, that's that person who did that. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you include that on the tour? I mean, I would have been a little more impressed. It's like, oh, there's a person here that basically will zap your phone. Your phone got zapped. There you go. Cause there you go. That seems to be interesting. I did also stop by. There was a gravestone in Beaufort ended up being part of the Revolutionary War. And there was a big part down there. And there was a gravestone in Beaufort Cemetery around the big church, one of those old kind of Gothic style cemeteries that dates from people from back in the 1600s and such. And there was one of a Revolutionary War hero. And I said, you know, I don't see enough of those. And I remember just it wasn't so much being touched by a spirit, just more being touched by I'm a veteran myself, Anne. Mm-hmm. So it was just to see that. I was like, you know what? Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the Revolutionary War. We don't see that much out here in the Midwest. And it was kind of a nice reminder. It's like, yeah, there was a lot of people that died, beating the British back then. So I remember that standing out as well.
But did you have like some kind of emotion that you weren't feeling a moment before that?
I was, like I said, I was feeling uncomfortable. But I will say this, when I saw that, I immediately didn't feel uncomfortable anymore in the sense being of the heat. I felt pride.
You were around fellow veterans and they were recognizing your energy.
Well, that's nice.
That's your spiritual and metaphysical and ghostly experience on that tour.
Well, and I will say this, you're exactly right about one thing, is that if you're a veteran, you understand other veterans. And even, the wars change, and the way that we fight these wars and the way these happen has changed. But if you understand, you know, that kind of that sacrifice and where those people are, you know, there is a camaraderie that goes with that. And there was a moment where I was like, you know, and I don't do this that often. I saluted the headstone and I'm kind of, if you haven't figured out, I'm kind of a cocky jackass. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, displaying the honorments and stuff like this, I do that when I'm really, I'm overcome with my veteran, you know, the emotion of this. And I have that moment come back to me about the fact that I'm a veteran myself. And I'm very proud that I served the United States in the U.S. Army. And so, yeah, that was one of those moments where I just didn't even hesitate. I gave a big salute to him and said, thank you very much for the service. They just had given him a brand new headstone. And it's quite nice. If you get a chance to go down and see it, you can actually see the soldier down there. He's part of this. And ironically, in the same cemetery, there are two. It's the only two British soldiers. Their gravestones recognized in the United States from the Revolutionary War. That they were buried there in that same cemetery, and the British government maintains those two gravestones. And so there are two British soldiers buried in that cemetery as well.
Oh, interesting.
Very. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come on back, I want to get into the photos with you, and then we'll talk more about what you guys are doing out there and some of the experiences you're going to have this weekend in Danbury, Connecticut. Greg Bakken, kind enough to join us, also Pastor Anne, for a psychic medium, joining us from Danbury, Connecticut, as we celebrate Halloween. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come on back. The Matt McNeil Show, right here on AM 950.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the match.
They did the monster match.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Greg Bakken, kind enough to join us, as well as Pastor Ane, of course, psychic medium, joining them out there out in Danbury, Connecticut. They are going to be stopping on by and visiting the Warren House, where the Annabelle doll is there. There's creepy and there's, it's nothing good. I mean, most haunted Halloween things don't scare me. And maybe it's because those movies are so good, is that they, you know, you do feel as if there is a much more realism that's conveyed in those movies, as opposed to like a Friday the 13th or a Halloween film. You know, it doesn't come across nearly as much. I always think, you know what, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is Jaws, Greg. I mean, because it's a very, very realistic film of a large shark. You know, that's terrifying. Yeah. So those films are great.
My favorite, actually, is the 1979 version TV miniseries Salem's Lot.
The one with David Soul, right?
Yes. I love that. Of course, I've shown somebody, and she absolutely found it to be absolutely laughable, but I'm not going to mention who that was.
No, Greg, I'm backing you up on this. There's a moment, I remember one of the scariest moments I ever had in any movie I've ever saw.
Can I guess what it is?
What is it?
Was it the coffin opening up and the kid jumps up?
No, that's good. Do you remember the scene where the guy finds the guy sleeping with his wife and he scares him off, and all of a sudden as he's running through the woods, all of a sudden the vampire gets him at the very beginning?
There's a hand that just shows up over Fred.
Yeah, exactly.
Face.
Holy God, did that scare? Because I was not expecting that.
I normally consider my parents to be responsible people, but I was, I think, 4 years old when that aired, and I watched it all on original broadcast, and that it's seared into my mind ever since.
Oh, that Salem's Lot. Well, first of all, the book is astounding. I mean, it is one of the better horror books you'll ever read. But they did it such good justice in that movie. And David Soul, that's probably the best thing. I mean, I know with Starsky and Hutch and all that stuff, but that was, I think, the best thing he ever did was that series. Because that still today, you watch that original Salem's Lot, the TV miniseries, that is as scary as anything you'll ever see put out.
Matt, not everyone agrees with us, so unfortunately,
there's some
that may not agree with that.
So I'm going to, once again, I've had the opportunity to present you, an expert, with a conundrum of what in the world happened here. So, and I explain this, if you go to my social media pages, at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter and Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, I have posted two pictures. Now, these are two kind of innocuous pictures I took on September 24th, right down the street from the radio station. It was just a nice day. Of course, we did the calendar. We were looking for nice pictures. So I went out and I decided to try to take some pictures here and see if they might come on out. And I took these two pictures were taken about 10 seconds apart from each other in the same exact location. Now, Greg, you kind of know this a little bit from being at the radio station. There's no sidewalk that runs the AM 950 side of Valley View Road there. It's on the other side of the road. So I'm literally trudging through grass. So there's no pedestrians there. There's no geese, or there's some geese there, but there was no geese there at the time. There's no dogs that are running loose or anything like that. There's Valley View Road behind me, but, you know, obviously that will cast a car shadow or a truck shadow if there was something behind me. I was by myself. There was no one else. I did not have a bag or a satchel or something that I took off my shoulder and put down. It was just me going out with my camera taking a picture. And the first picture you see, it's kind of an upright picture of me in the camera. You see me. You can actually see the shadow of me in the picture taking the photo. All right. And then the second picture is me. I turn the picture sideways. It's a nice photo. I mean, it's not one of my better pictures. And then the shadows, I think, kind of killed it a little bit too much in that. But needless to say, there is a mysterious shadow right next to me in that photo that there was nothing there. There's no sign there. There's no fire hydrant there. There is nothing there. And yet that shadow showed up. I had not moved. I mean, if you look at the two pictures, you can see that I am basically in the same exact spot. It just, I changed the, you know, I turned the camera. So, question for you. I mean, once again, I know you're not going to be able to say, well, that's the demon Phil. No, you know, I know you're not going to be able to say that. But is there, compared to the other picture, which we fairly easily discredited, that was actually just a reflection of a headlight off of Shady Oak Road, do you think that there might be something more to this photo, or is it just Matt, you're loopy?
Matt, there was a demon attached to you, and it was hanging out with you.
Well, that's Patrick. He's my producer. He's a nice guy.
Patrick's only a demon when the Vikings lose.
I've noticed that.
And then comes in Sunday to try to produce a show.
Twins are tanking it in May. You do not want to be around Demon Patrick. I'll say that.
There's a couple factors to take into play here. First of all, it's really tough, right? Because I wasn't there, I know you, so I'm able to take you at face value, because that's always the first thing. You get people who show stuff all the time, and some are being very authentic about what they feel it is. Others are trying to fool me, and so looking at that, I mean, the best I can give you is I don't know what that is. That's a very interesting photo on that, because why would normally if we're doing paranormal investigations, we'd tell the investigator take at least three photos in a row. The difference here, of course, you were just taking a picture. You weren't trying to find anything. You took one picture, some time had passed, 10 seconds had passed, you took another picture. What was that? Do you remember feeling anything at that time, like anything, any weirdness or anything, or are you just focused on those whatever that was, the straw or whatever that was?
Well, yeah, okay, and I felt it was obviously kind of not the most comfortable walk to get down there. I will say this.
Yeah.
I remember it feeling cool. I will say this. I remember getting down there, and I thought that was just basically the highway, because where that's at. I mean, you're coming down, there's a wind that can come off of 494 that hits Valley View that comes down there sometimes. It gets a little windy. So I remember getting cool, and that's kind of why I took the pictures. If you look at my head, where my shadow is of my head on the two pictures, you see that I have not moved an inch. My head shadow is right there on there's a little bit of tall grass there. That is in the same spot. And yes, indeed, because I twisted the camera around, it's a little bit of a different angle. But the top of whatever that shadow is should have shown up in the other picture, and it does not. It you can tell where that one would lie too. I just, for the life of me, I can't figure out what in the world that was.
Did you ever lose a dog?
Of course, I've lost a few dogs. I had when I was a dog. I had a dog when I was a little kid, Clipper, a golden retriever. And then, of course, growing up, there were many dogs that I had that, over time, because I'd moved away, passed away. I had a dog named Skye, who is a Sheltie, who was my first dog we had in our family here, who I absolutely adored. He was a great dog, and he passed away a few years back. So, yeah, no, I felt loss on that level.
So the thing is, it's like,
I felt like it's the golden retriever.
Anay feels like it's the golden retriever. There was someone there with you, an old friend returned to you.
It does look more of us. I mean, if I was to say if that is a shadow of a dog, it does more look like the shadow of a golden retriever than it does of a Sheltie. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Clipper was a great dog. He's a dog I grew up with as a kid. And, it was one of those that, that as a young kid, your true friendship is that pet you had, they were always there. And through, some stressful times, they were always there with you. It was always nice to have a companion. And I never really thought about it. Could it be, Clipper, or could it be another pet? I never really put it out there, but that it does look like a dog, obedient dog sitting there right next to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does. And they never leave us. The ones who passed on before us, they never leave us. They're always with us.
Well, it's also true they're a retriever, so he might be like, okay, you're going to shoot those geese? I'll go in the water and get them. it's what I do.
It could very well be. Like, where's your gun,
What's the hold up here? They're just sitting right there. I'll have to explain to Clipper why you don't eat city birds. Okay, they're a little gamey. They're a little chewier than your standard normal. I think you're right. I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm not trying to sell this. And I actually enjoyed, we had one listener, Greg, who went and did a, crime scene reconstruction of the light on the gravestone.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I think that's actually quite a bit of fun. But I will say that if I do see something like this where, I'm like, okay, I was there, there was nothing there to cast that shadow. What cast that shadow? I'm not doing that because I'm looking for sensationalism or celebrity. I'm looking at that as like, okay, what was that?
And any paranormal investigator should welcome someone being skeptical and trying to figure out what could be possible causes for, you know, a picture or something that looks like there might be something there, but maybe there isn't. I mean, if we took everything at face value, if I showed a piece of that I thought was evidence and just expected everyone to take it with open arms and believe it and be happy with it, that's not the right way to go. We want to scrutinize. We want to be able to, so people aren't like, you're a bunch of weirdos, but be like, okay, you guys are open-minded to maybe it not being paranormal, maybe not being spirit communication, because a lot of times it simply isn't.
Mm-hmm. And I, for Greg and Greg's side, the first thing he says is, I don't know what that is. And he says, humility sometimes gives a lot of credibility to your discussion on that argument. But I will say, the more I look at that picture, I think Anne was right. I mean, it looks like a dog just sitting there saying, can I go in the water? It does. Wow, that's amazing. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's take a final break. Come on back. We'll wrap up. We'll find out how people can get in touch with you, find out more about Ghost Box this weekend, and also more about Halloween. Greg Bakken and Pastor Anne is joining us. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break. Wrap up the show. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Greg, I just sent you FYI because of that great insight from Pastor Anne about the cemetery I was at with the Revolutionary War. I sent you the picture of the headstone that I took out there. So when you get a chance, take a look at that. And Anne, thank you very much. That's a very cool of you to kind of give that insight, because you know what? Sometimes I need to stop and remember how cool it was that I was a veteran. And that I have that connection. And I think that does sometimes, when I go on out there to, when I was at the World War II Memorial and on the Washington Mall, when I go over to Fort Snelling National Cemetery, I mean, it does hit me there. And it's nice to recognize that. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
So, and I want to make sure with you, obviously, you obviously provide a very, you know, a lot of cool services here, a psychic medium, tarot card reader. You do a lot of events and you do a Facebook Live series. Yeah, how can people, if they're interested in getting more information on you and getting some of your services, get in touch with you?
They can go to my website, onae.org. That's onae.org.
All right. And I'll link to all this a little bit later on.
An appointment from there.
Okay. And I'll link to all this on social media a little
bit
later on.
Oh, and my Facebook page.
Okay.
It's
Tarot by Anne.
What was that?
Tarot by Anne.
Tarot by Anne.
Tarot by Anne.
By Anne. Okay. All right. I will make sure I link to both of those out there when we get down there. Greg, this weekend. Okay. So you're in Danbury. You said there's a bit of a convention going on right now?
Yeah, there's a convention that's put on by the Sparrows and their paranormal team. So they're going to, you know, that's going to have both versions of Annabelle, the real and the plus all these other vendors of paranormal investigators, mediums, you know, lots of discussion, lots of talking, just a lot of fun stuff. For us, it's fun. And I think a lot of people would find it fun too, that, you know, you just talk about it all. So yeah, it's going to be a great, great weekend.
And then, of course, you got the show coming up here on Sunday, the 4 o'clock hour on AM 950. And then the replay of the previous week's show, that's going to be at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. You can catch Ghost Box Radio right on AM 950. One final thing here. Will you try to make a run up to Salem?
Boy, I don't even. It's so busy this time of year.
Yeah,
there.
It is.
Really busy too here.
Yeah. Oh. It's spooky enough in some spots of Danbury, so we're going to stick around, I think, here.
Well, I mean, it does take away a bit from the creepiness factor. If all, you know, your wait time for every restaurant's an hour and a half. You know, you're hour and a half out of town because you're in Springfield, Massachusetts, because that's the closest hotel you could find. It does kind of take away from it, but enjoy, because let's face it. I mean, Halloween is great here in Minnesota, but it is really kind of fun out there on the East Coast. So I hope you guys have a great time out there.
Thank you very much.
Pastor One, and of course, obviously, Greg Bakken, Ghost Box Radio. Guys, thank you very much. Appreciate the time, and travel safe. We'll talk to you before too long, okay?
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.